Wall Street and biotechnology companies have been very excited about this idea. And what essentially it is trying to pack the cells in the body in order to make them into drug factories.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
November 24th, 2021, Friday. Thank you for joining me today. Merry Christmas to everybody tuning in today, and happy holidays to whoever else celebrates anything else. But of course, we talked about that yesterday. You should be okay just to say Merry Christmas to people, and they should be okay to say whatever they're celebrating back to you. Because that just makes sense, right? Let's not overcomplicate things and be unhappy at a time when people should be positive. That's what I believe in this holiday season has become overly commercialized and everything else that we've done to everything else. It's about embracing the positivity, the good-natured people around you. And that's what it's really all about, especially in holidays like this. Whether they celebrate this or that or whatever, it's about just enjoying the people around you that understand the goodness in each other. And it's something that I believe they're trying to take away from us today in a lot of different ways. Very important conversation today. Actually, not going to be that much of a short show, to be quite honest, despite being an impromptu show for Christmas Eve. There's some very important things that have come out, and I almost kind of feel like it's because it's Christmas Eve. Now, we're going to start with a couple of points that I usually make, and it's not just because I didn't make the point regardless of what's happening, but Israel just always seems to love to attack people on Christmas Eve and Christmas. In particular places that have a large Christian population, like Syria. And we're going to talk about a couple of things happening in that regard very quickly to start off, but then jump right into the really important stuff. The COVID illusion, the reality that they're now kind of letting the cat out of the bag, that there was never a choice. You've had your time to think it over, and now we're going to make you do it. We have people like Mayor Lori Lightfoot telling you, your time's up. We're coming for you. This is on Twitter, openly threatening people with medical intervention, like directly out of the Nuremberg Code. I mean, it's incredible. We have people now forcing this, like Ecuador, making it app mandatory. We're going to discuss interesting, week 51 that came out just today or yesterday or today in regard to the UK data that, guess what, continues to show you this, the pandemic of the injected. Now, we have a lot of discussion around Omicron and what is whether or not that's what we're looking at, whether or not it's dangerous, despite everything already being decided. All this information, I shouldn't say decided, the data clearly points to and shows the evidence around the things that we continue to tell you that it's not more dangerous. And in fact, that could be a positive thing if it's even there at all. Now, we also talk about the natural immunity part of this and how there's more studies, one of which I just found from Denny Rancourt, who just shared this, but he shared a grouping of them, I think it was today, two of which we've shown you, one I haven't seen. Actually, no, one of which we've shown you and two of which came out on the 22nd. And one of them is really important, and that's what we show in the title today. And this is what we keep talking about. This is discussing how you make immunity, or antibodies specifically, you gain immunity after a natural infection, specifically in COVID, against all coronaviruses and continually the variants of concern going forward. And we've had multiple things that we've shown you that make that the case. Now, on that note, I'm actually just realizing right this moment that I wanted to grab that one. You don't have to see me do it on the show. What's important is that this stuff has been there. It's been in front of you, not just because I'm showing you, but because the data has been there. The governments and the media pretending like they're trusting this science, the data, the information, are actively keeping it from your view. Now, a big and a really important conversation is about the waning boosters. They're calling them boosters despite being forced already. And they're already coming out now that it shows that weeks at the most, we're seeing this just fall off a cliff, just like with everything else we told you. Now, shocker, we were censored, as everybody else was, for saying, well, that's going to wane too, like everything else did. Nope, can't. It's going to work. It's a three-time thing that works perfectly, and then it's neutralized, they said. And then we're already going, but a fourth one's probably going to be coming. So it's neutralized, which means it's harmless, but yet we're already telling you a fourth one's needed. If you're listening, I should point to my ear. If you're listening, they're telling you, and they always have been. People just want to hear what they want to hear, especially today. Collapsing athletes, we're going to touch on again today. Ivermectin, we're going to touch on. A big discussion of nurses being rehired, the ones that were fired in some cases. Why would that be? Well, because they don't have enough people. And now, guess what? Even the triple boosted are getting sick. It's amazing how this is in real time, and all they're going to do is say, because the unvaccinated, with no science to back that up, while they scream, trust the science. I mean, this is becoming a clownish display of ignorance, willful ignorance. Now, let's start off with a very important point here that I thought was really interesting. And that's, I guess I shouldn't say very important. It's more so a nice thing to see for us today to start off the show. And it's an important, a nice thing to see for a lot of reasons. One, it shows that our work that you're involved with, The Last American Vagabond, is having an effect. We are reaching lots of people. And even though they want to censor and suppress and kick you out of the conversation and act like you're not there and you're not important, and look at that small Twitter account, he doesn't have any following. Like, that's what they want people to think. The point, though, is that you out there, who aren't influenced by the mainstream media yelling at you, are very aware that we are reaching people and, in fact, have a very strong influence over the discussion today. And that's really nice to see, because we know that. We see the engagement. But the average person that doesn't know that, the small percentage of people who think they're the majority, they look at this and they don't, or look at our work or anybody else, they think conspiracy theory. They don't realize how many there are of people like you out there that are questioning things, that are asking questions, engaging in research, right? That's the most important part of this.
Oops. Reaching people, in fact, have a very strong...
Apologies for that. I was trying to do that quietly behind the scenes while I was talking to you. I forgot to open up one of these chats that I wanted to watch. There we go. Let me drop that down. Okay, so this is from Swiss Policy Research, which is a really, really, I've been saying this from the beginning, a very highly regarded outlet. They are a highly regarded scientific publication. And what's interesting to me is, since the beginning of this, because they've stuck to their guns and just wanted to report the truth, as they saw it at the very least, they have been relegated, like BMJ is beginning to be, as a conspiracy theorist outlet. We're going to know that one. Oh, they're the ones that have been saying those things about, oh, they're fake news. Except moments ago, they were regard. It's the same idea. The moment the British Medical Journal chose to report the whistleblower discussion of Ventavia and Pfizer and all of that, the media has just regarded them like some little corner news blog. They are literally one of the top five of the groupings out there. Lancet, like, they're in this category. And yet, just because they have one discussion point that they don't agree with, they're fake news forever. I mean, how do you not see how stupid that is? All the clout and everything you use from all their work before and everything they built up and all their credentials, and none of that matters the moment they say one thing you don't like. It's just people actually go along with this stuff. Anyway, the point is, Swiss Policy Research has been killing it in regard to COVID-19, keeping an ongoing discussion of the mask evidence, the ongoing discussion of the lockdowns and everything else. This is called the Media Navigator. And it says Chris Robinson sent me this yesterday or this morning. The Media Navigator classifies 72 influential media outlets based on their political stance and their relationship to power. In many cases, the latter is more significant. I agree with that entirely. The two-party illusion is just that, an illusion, even if they independently believe in it. So their relationship to power, not necessarily just, it's in my mind, I'm thinking specifically like government negative authority, because there's powerful people, I guess you could argue, that might necessarily be bad. But regardless, that's not a good point to differentiate on, especially right in this context, because the idea is that just people that are close to, in my mind, I'm again saying government authority, influential types, are something we should be aware of at the very least. And their point is that's very much more significant than whether you're left or right. Now, you'll quickly point out or notice that we're in there, which is very happy to see. I'm honored to be included by Swiss Policy Research as one of the 72 influential media outlets out there. Understand, this is mainstream media and everything. I find that to be very, I'm honored. Now, it says the Media Navigator has been developed based on an in-depth analysis of news coverage, commentary, media ownership, and financing. There's also a German edition available. Now, by no means do I think this is complete. There's plenty of people in here that I don't see or so on. Now, I don't think this was an attempt to cover everybody everywhere. It was just sort of a point to make about the balance of power, balance of left versus right. Now, you'll note that we are in the center distant, which means we are center. We're not politically driven one way or the other, and we're distant from any discernible power connections to the government or so on, you know, where you find out tomorrow that my, you know, secret wife is an FBI agent or something like that. You know, that's the kind of things that people would be concerned about, right? That's not true, by the way, for those that want to cut that out somewhere. I'm not married. But it's important to look into this, and you see noticeably Global Research, Unlimited Hangout, Corbett Report, Consortium News, and so on. Last American Vagabond in there as well. And then you see the breakdown between liberal and then close to power versus not close to power and conservative, distant to power and close to power in the same way. And you'll find people that we'd look at distant, you know, conservative and distant to power, Zero Hedge, Activist Post. You know, I wouldn't argue that all these are necessarily conservative, but distant to power. And you'd find that those are tend to be the ones that we are pointing at, not because we made that the case, but because they seem to be the most honest. And so my point is you can tend to find, if you're objective, that the most honest and objective reporting will be the ones that are the most distant from power. Weird. Isn't that a coincidence? Right? I mean, it's important to see all that stuff. Now, you can dive through this for yourself. I just think this is a really great thing, and hopefully they're going to, as it shows down here, last updated, I'm sure they're going to continue to update it. So, important to continue to stay relevant and continue to be honest and objective and find yourself in the center and distant. Now, continuing forward, some foreign policy news. Breaking news. If you didn't hear about it, Yemeni warplanes are currently dropping bombs on Israel's capital, targeting residential areas in the middle of the night. That is a war crime. I've got some changing news here. Oh, wait a minute. Excuse me. Those were Israeli planes bombing Yemeni civilians. So we're allowed to ignore it then. Whew. Almost got that wrong, guys. Excuse me. So we can just pretend that didn't happen since Yemeni civilians don't matter, right? Well, you know I'm being facetious. The point is that's what mainstream seems to think because it doesn't matter when this happens, except if it was even the allegation of Yemeni planes bombing the capital of Israel, otherwise known as the occupied Palestine, everybody would be talking about it. That should bother you, guys. Merry Christmas, by the way. I mean, it's incredible that this continues to happen, and it's every single year. This is Sarah Abdallah. This is what I'm citing. Breaking, and this is what happened. Saudi and UAE warplanes are dropping U.S., U.K.-made bombs on Yemen's capital of Sana'a, targeting residential neighborhoods in the middle of the night. Now, I used Israel as a point because that's usually the dynamic there that's ignored. Regardless, it's the idea that we're talking about U.S. allies and the good guys, they try to frame it as, continually carrying out open, aggressive war crimes. It's incredible, isn't it? Nobody cares. And the world is silent. Robert put up an article today, Israeli prisons brutally abuse Palestinian women, leading to violent escalation. 32 Palestinian female political prisoners were brutally assaulted. Basically read this for yourself. It's pretty rough. And I don't even want to get into it today, honestly, because of how it's unnerving to read into the kind of things that are happening, because this is just briefly touches the surface. And I don't want to talk about this unless I'm going to get into what's really going on. That's not the focus today. But it's sad to watch that this doesn't matter. Right. The groupings, the Israel, the UAE, right? They're all involved with the Great Reset, right? The building your equitable and equal future for everybody, right? Equal rights and equity and all that, while they're the ones aggressively focusing on attacking, in this case, female political prisoners with no rights whatsoever, no actual justice whatsoever. These people, 99.9% of the cases put before the court in regard to Palestinians are charged with a crime, despite the fact that many of them are later shown to not actually have committed the crime. This is ongoing. This is what an authoritarian apartheid state looks like, that's framed as democracy for political reasons. Disgusting. As Marshall points out, as Christmas nears, the IDF broke into 403 Palestinian homes, or the IOF, excuse me, the Israeli occupation forces, which are the IDF, but we're talking about the occupation. 403 Palestinian homes in the middle of the night, waking up and terrorizing sleeping children. If that's not enough, they also installed 276 new military checkpoints over the past month, restricting movement even more. Merry Christmas. It's just frustrating that this continues to happen, regardless of whether people there are celebrating Christmas or not. The point is that there are Christians that, in specifically places like Syria, which we talk about, especially before the war, had one of the largest Christian populations in all the Middle East. And there's a reason that those populations are actively targeted by bombings by Israel almost every single Christmas. I mean, mark my words, if it hasn't happened yet, I'm waiting for them to bomb Syria at some point today or tomorrow. Now, bringing this over into the context of the way you in your country, if you're in the United States specifically, are also living under an authoritarian government, here's Mayor Lori E. Lightfoot, one of these people that I've just, I always want to make a subjective personal observation about the way this person looks because it scares me. I just don't understand why is it just me, or are all these people the very people that if you pass them on the street, you'd be like, what is wrong with that person? Looks like they're going to do something to me. I'm talking most of these people in Congress, most of these people in, you know why I think that? Why I say that, I should say, because I've made this point many times. If you do your research, and I've done a show about this before, you will find that the an interesting correlation, doesn't mean it's verifiably there, just a correlation, but the general percentage of people in the world, or specifically say in the country, that you would find scientifically but breakdown that would be considered sociopathic, psychopathic, right? Basically suffering from sociopathy, psychopathy, people that are crazy or have, you know, don't have emotions like we do. The percentage of that category in the country tends to perfectly align with the percentage of politicians in our country. Just an observation. Now, here's what she's saying. To put it simply, if you have been living vaccine free, just a way to start that, your time is up. That's directly, this is her tweet. If you wish to live life as with the ease to do things you love, you must be vaxxed. So I guess we just don't have a free country anymore, even if arguably whoever, if we did before, or our constitutional rights aren't even being discussed. If you wish to live life with ease to do things you love, you have to have this medical intervention. Guys, this is next level. This is what we have always been saying is happening. This is what we've always been pointing at. Now she's just blatantly saying it. What happened to the idea of Pelosi saying, we can't force you to do this? This is months ago. This is absolutely incredible. And this is the idea. This is an authoritarian. This is the authoritarianism coming out of the authoritarians that have been quietly soft peddling democracy in front of you. Or I guess the other way you should say that is soft peddling their authoritarianism behind a guise of democracy. And they're just happy to jump on top of it. This is power. If you think this aligns with what you believe this country is, you are lost. Because this is moments ago, we were arguing this was crazy. This was never going to happen. It was fake news. And anybody saying they were going to force a vaccine on you is absolutely lost their mind. You can't just be like, oh, but now it's because you're in danger. So that thing I said would never happen now makes sense. Therefore, you're still crazy. That's just you doing mental gymnastics to justify what you want to justify. This is off the rails. It says this health order, again, not law, order, mandate, authoritarian, tyrannical, may pose an inconvenience to the unvaccinated. And in fact, it is inconvenient by design. So they're making health orders to aimed at the people who they want to do the thing they want to do, aimed at them in order to make their lives. That is punitive. There's nothing about this. This is legal, scientific. Everything about this is crazy. Exactly as Gareth says, you cray cray. Absolutely. I mean, this is like, I mean, I feel like he almost did that just to kind of lighten it, because this is really harsh. And this is a hard thing to talk about on a time when we're trying to be positive. Now, I promise you I will end today with a positive note, because all of this should be seen through a positive lens. I know that's difficult. The reason she's doing this is because they're desperate. And I'll show you more of that. In Israel, the United States, the mainstream is beginning to pull away. People are seeing through this like everywhere. And that's why these kind of things are coming out. They're trying to scare you back, because that's all they have left. Until it becomes force, if that's what they choose to do. Now, this is an order she put in, will be in effect until the city deems that the threat of COVID is over. So I guess this is the same thing that, I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden. One of the other mayors just did. The guy with the glasses, the gray hair, I forget his name all of a sudden. But they pretend, well, we're going to stop forcing the emergency on you. We're going to remove these things, but then we're going to like enshrine into law that this is an emergency forever until we say so, which is not even really what's happening with an order, but now it's just until we decide. I personally now have all encompassing power, and I can decide until we, and if I feel as a threat, then we'll stay in this position. These people are drunk with power. And what's even further, because hospitalizations in the city are highest since our surge last winter. Yeah, but what's the context around that? Because right now in literally every place you could point to, it's going down around Omicron. And that's not because there's going the issues with hospitalization are going away in regard to the vaccine. We'll get to that in a minute, but because Omicron is dramatically less dangerous. So in every sense, other than the vaccine problems that they're causing, it's going down, right? So you got to think of it like this. The vaccine has been being administered since the beginning of the year. Those problems have been being called COVID since the beginning of the year. Now you have other things coming and going, ebbing and flowing around variants and whatever else you think is happening, flu, pneumonia. If you take any one of those things out of the equation, you'll see a decrease, won't you? That's what we're looking at. And they're happily going to jump on anything that looks like a decrease, which is what they'll do. I don't care if this thing goes on for 45 years. The moment it dissipates, they're going to be like, we did it. Success, right? Mission accomplished. That's what they always do. And the people that want to go on their side will jump on that to be like, I knew it. We were right. We did the right thing. I knew it. As they're taking 37 jabs every 20 seconds and wearing 45 masks and all decrepit and lost everything and their immune system doesn't work. Right. And they're, yay, we did it. This is nuts. Next level. Ecuador makes COVID-19 vaccine obligatory, which I find it interesting. And it's funny, this came up in a conversation the other day. I used the word because that's just what I read, which does mean the same thing. But it's odd that they chose this word. And if you search for Ecuador, that's all you'll find. Not mandatory, not forced, of course. They won't say forced because that's not, we're not going to pretend we're actually forcing, because you have a choice to live in that corner with nothing and no food and no shelter. It's your choice, though. Obligatory. It means mandatory. That's what it means. They're forcing this. They're making it mandatory. I think they don't like the word mandatory because that's the word that's usually associated with the conspiracy theory. But it says, Ecuador's government said on Thursday it has made it obligatory, mandatory, forced, required for eligible people to be vaccinated against COVID-19 amid an increase in cases in the circulation of new variants. Okay. So no hospitalization. Okay. Because you can look into this. Not a problem. Deaths, not really there. Cases are on the roof. Variants all over the place. So is there a problem, though, if that's the case? Well, they want that to be the case, and they're making up all kinds of analogies and estimations about it. But the danger doesn't seem to be building, and we're seeing even the media is starting to call it out. So this builds into what they want it to be, hype, fervor, around something that they want you to think until they can point to some other thing that can keep the danger going. Or maybe they can just last it out just until the flu thing starts happening. Oh, yes, then we can call that COVID again, which is already happening. But the point is, with Omicron being so low, it's, in my opinion, that's why we see these happening. But amid an increase of something that is not dangerous, this is what we're seeing everywhere. Now, before we get to that point to show you the lack of danger, just wanted to reiterate yet again. I know I keep bringing this up, but I just can't get past this. As they're forcing this, forcing it on people, don't forget, the same injection that's being forced is not fleshed out. Let's just start with the most important one, seeing as how those other ones are less relevant in the moment to what that thing just said. So they're forcing it, right? Here's the data from Pfizer from November in the European Union, and it says the long-term safety of COVID mRNA vaccines are unknown at the present. What do you know? That's supposed to be fake news. However, further safety data is being collected in the ongoing study for up to 2 years. Both of those things are censorable if you say it on Twitter. Think about how crazy that is. You can literally be censored for saying either one of those things, that we don't know how safe it is long-term, and that we are still being studied for ongoing study for 2 years. That's called pharmacovigilance. But none of that matters because the narrative is what we're going by. But on top of that, they don't have, it's missing information they list off here. The safety profile for the vaccine is not known in pregnant or breastfeeding women, yet they're telling them to get it. Somebody speak up. How does that make sense? Here, immunocompromised. Oh, the immunocompromised should be the first ones. Those in the 65-year-olds, we got to get them first. The safety profile of the vaccine is not known in immunocompromised individuals. Isn't that strange? So you don't know if it's safe, but we're going to make sure they get it first. Read into that what you will. I have all sorts of opinions. Here's one. Use in frail patients with comorbidities. So old people? Yeah, of course, you could be a young, frail person with comorbidities, but let's be real. Frail people with comorbidities is pretty much the elderly. That's what we're talking about right there. And what does it say? There's limited information on the safety for people. Yep. We don't know. We've barely studied whether it's safe, but we're going to jam it in all the arms of the elderly people. That's going to be relevant again in a minute. We just talked about the issue of the nursing homes and how obviously that was a clear, they jammed everybody in there and that was a huge illusion. And we can still point to that. I'm going to get to a study that discusses it again and says that it's 20% worldwide. But just in the U.S., we're talking over a third of all the deaths we're talking are people in nursing homes. That is not real. Or you could, I guess, maybe make the argument that just shows you how disgustingly incompetent all of them are everywhere, which, by the way, I wouldn't even argue with. But I think it's more than that, especially when it becomes 20% of all the deaths around the world are in these nursing homes. Something weird is happening. That's one facet of an illusion. Right? You can't just kick that off and be like, well, 20% can be explained. We'll add that with the PCR illusion and the flu combination and everything else that is an illusion about this. But patients with autoimmune and inflammatory disorders, limited information, right? Interaction with other vaccines, we don't know, have not been performed. Cool. sure glad they're making this safe for everybody, forcing it and not having all the data. Now, this is the, oh, that's right. Shoot, I wanted to do the percentages on this and I forgot. It would have taken me a lot of extra time, so I'm glad I didn't. But COVID-19 cases presenting to emergency care. Actually, wait, starting up here. This is from case, excuse me, week 47 to week 50, which is week 51 reporting. Oh, wait. I wanted to show this too. Just for those that haven't seen me report this, don't think that I'm just pulling this off of some fringe random document. As always, all the source links will be in the show notes. I'm sorry I keep delaying on that, by the way. I keep forgetting or getting busy. I will almost always have it within 24 hours after the show, if not right afterward. But for those that keep going, where are all the links, you fake news? Watch the show, man. I go over it in the show. But Comirnaty Risk Management Plan, November 25th. This is directly, you can cite, look at this for yourself. It's very clear. Same thing here. This is week 51. Report from the UK Health Security Agency. Super serious in security and not about health, right? So here we are. There's a lot of information in here, too, that I don't usually look at. I'll make a point to go through that in another show, and it's relevant, but I'll show you why it's not the main point. This is cases. As always, their argument is, well, cases because most vaccinated, it makes sense, but it doesn't, and especially doesn't as you continue to see this build. If you're arguing this thing stops, even just transmission, which you're going to, they still try to argue, get the third shot and it stops it. Still, it doesn't. It's not just that they're catching it. They're spreading it amongst themselves to other vaccinated. And that's what everybody's reported around the world, except the people trying to hide that. Now, what you'll find here is that it's aggressively, and this is the worst one. The only category that's not crazy lopsided to the fully vaccinated is under 18, right? And this is the only category. Every other category from 18 to over 80, the vast majority. I mean, just a quick breakdown. I mean, I'm probably going to say over 80%. It was last time we did it. Over 80%, the vast majority of cases are in the fully vaccinated, period. And even just look at the elderly. Same point I always make. If they're the most at risk, wouldn't you argue that they would have the most cases just in general and the people that weren't vaccinated, seeing as how the vaccine is supposed to offer some kind of, nope. But also the interesting point, is that this is always in the case area. It's different than the other two categories, hospitalization and death. Usually it's aggressively slanted toward the over 80, right? The most numbers, it increases the more you go towards the higher number. But here with cases, it's always slanted right in the middle. 230,000 cases total in the 40 to 49 category. 22,000 of them are not vaccinated. I don't even know how that makes sense, especially when you realize that you still have half this country that are unvaccinated. How does that line up? If it was half and you're supposed to be more susceptible, wouldn't you be more, at least half? No, but it doesn't make sense. That's the point. But 22,000 not vaccinated, 190,000 cases in the fully vaccinated. I mean, come on, this is ridiculous. But going forward, emergency care. Same idea. Last time we did this was about 60% of the emergency people being who are in the hospital or who have COVID-19 positive test either before or after. And that's relevant because we're going to get to that in point today where most of them are being tested after they come into the hospital. Shocking, I know. Uh-oh. Looks like I lost a tab here somewhere. How did that happen? One second, guys. As I'm referencing that point, because of a Zero Hedge article, that's frustrating. Oh, I know what it is. Here it is. Perfect. I don't know how I lost that. Or where it was supposed to be, but we'll get back to it. Okay, coming back to the point. You tell this was impromptu? All right, so the point is emergency care. And the same point I keep making, if you go from 40 down, which is the bulk of the number, it's aggressively slanted on the fully vaccinated. Same idea. There's no way you make sense of that. If it's super rare, unless they're kind of drifting into, well, Omicron, and that's why. Except this was happening under Delta and every time before it. And on top of that, they're still arguing it's because of the unvaccinated, which doesn't make sense because if that was the case, then you wouldn't see it only slanting towards one side for the most part. But over 80 is the point to make. 261 out of 1,222 not vaccinated. 931 of those 1,222, 931 of them are fully vaccinated, over 80. If they are most at risk, you wouldn't see it like that. It's supposed to give them some protection, right? Nobody cares about this. Deaths within 28 days, which again is the UK, right? That's the point. It doesn't, if you have a test and then you die within 28 days, regardless of how, that goes down as a COVID death. And that's stupid. But taking that as it is, recognize even then, look at the slanting. Look at, this is incredible. Same point. Now this, it's same thing. It's about 40 to 50 above is where all the numbers are. But look at how low it is in general. Like even just the total cases. There's like barely over 70 cases under 40 of death. Everything else is aggressively forward. And then you look at how clearly it's all happening in the elderly. And it's the same point about the nursing homes. A total of 1,350 elderly people over 80 died within 60 days of a test. 28 days, excuse me. Then it says 241 of those were not vaccinated. 1,055 were fully vaccinated. Doesn't make any sense. Same, but then the same point, if you want to pretend that's because they're old, but then not apply that same logic on the other side of the argument, here it is on 60 to 69 or 50 to 59, right? It's the same point. And you can go even further and see the same exact thing, same exact. Anyway, to try not to waste too much time on this, well, I shouldn't say waste, this is really important. I'll keep coming to this because it's the only one that seems, there's only a few places out there that seem to keep giving you the breakdown between vaxxed and unvaxxed. Ask yourself why that is. I'm genuinely concerned, not concerned. That's weird. I'm genuinely interested in why they haven't deleted this yet or removed this yet. In any case, there's no hiding that. Now, but taking what they might try to say, why that makes sense into consideration, whatever their narrative would be about why this adds up somehow, let's go into the part that would make that also not make sense. Here is what one doctor is saying. And I'm kind of just, again, just, I'm baffled at how this doctor doesn't know what I am saying here. Now, it doesn't have to mean that. Like, for instance, Dr. Chris Martinson and I talked about this, and other people would argue that there's more information that makes this not as, that there may have more sequencing ability than we might have seen earlier in the year, and so on. Sure, I'll give you that. Nonetheless, the CDC's most recent information showed that as of March, they had less than 1% of all the cases sequenced, meaning they're the only ones they knew the actual variant, if that's even what you believe is happening. So how is it possible that between then and now, we somehow magically know where every single Omicron case is? That's ridiculous. It's just ridiculous. And even they argue that. And I even linked to this fact check, not because that's what the USA Today makes it real, but because that's the mainstream. And I know that this grouping here will acknowledge that at the very least, that they're telling you. Genomic sequencing, not PCR testing, is what detects these variants. Now, I list a bunch of other ones that show you, they admit to you, what else? The other points I'm saying, such as the fraction, I believe that was the New York Times or Reuters that were saying that. And it was linked and you can look it up for yourself. 1%, it was 0.9% of the total cases as of that point had been sequenced. So here's what the doctor says. I'm not trying to call this doctor out because he's asking a good question. I'm just sort of from a side point confused about how these other doctors don't know this stuff. But what doctor is testing for Omicron? What lab is offering strain testing? How do we know it's all Omicron? Because I'm the lab. And I and am testing for research and not seeing Omicron. So he's going, look, I am here and I'm not seeing it. That's interesting. Also, all these tests cost a lot and do genetic strains. So how do they know? Interesting. And I said, none of the average doctors are testing for Omicron, seeing as how there's limited genetic sequencing ability in the US. As of March, the CDC's only sequenced a fraction of 1%. Yet now we pretend they know everything everywhere this is. It's just not true. Simple. Now, on top of that, so keep going from point to point, keep these in your mind, right? So we know that we're to some degree, and this is always the honest way to put it, like the false positive conversation. To some degree, we know that there's that number is simply inaccurate. It could be 99%, it could be 1%. But we know for sure that the number they're giving you on deaths and cases and all that is inaccurate. Even they used to try to admit that when they're trying to argue it could be more, but they realized that wasn't working for them because that all that means is we don't know. So they stopped saying that. Either way, it's an illusion and willful to a large degree. But so we know that they don't know the full picture of Omicron, if it's even really happening. Then they're coming out like this. Half of colds will be COVID. What? Yeah, this is the point, guys. They're quietly trying to get, they're telling you that this is not serious without actually saying that, while they're then using the same thing to hype the restrictions. Mass psychosis? Is it meant to not make sense? That's what Chris Martinson would argue, and I agree. It's ridiculous. If half the colds will be COVID, that means that the COVID we're dealing with is not very serious. And also that means that COVID will be called the – or cold will be called the – excuse me. The common cold will be regarded as COVID or accidentally could be, and we have to admit that. Same with the flu and everything else. If it's that easy and we're using the same symptoms and or positive test and 28 days. I mean, I wish I would have pulled this up or remembered to. Let me see if I can just search for it real quick. This is for antibodies around the cold. That's funny. So I should have expected we'd have fact checks. By the way, that was a Nature study that talked about this. Good Lord. Oh, how about this one? Oh, I should have grabbed that, actually. So here's the funny part. I'm actually glad I did this to make this point. So here are their fact checks. I mean, because we're already breaking down how ridiculous these fact checks are. Common cold does not produce positive coronavirus test. Fake. It very, very clearly can. I mean, there's absolutely no doubt. And that's not the idea that you're like... I mean, it was that you could be sick with the cold and produce a positive PCR test. Of course you can, for a lot of reasons, and that was discussed. But it's more so about having, like, antibodies, for instance, or immunity, for instance. As this study in Nature found that people in the uninfected control group, which wasn't expected, showed T-cell immunity, antibodies. And why? Well, because of COVID-19 or SARS, or they get into a discussion in the article, common cold and other coronaviruses. And that was even discussed way earlier in this, and we all remember that. Yet, nonetheless, they just get fake news. And I promise you, when you read through this fact check, it's probably going to be pretty thin, threadbare. Where were we? Jumping way ahead. Okay. So, half of the colds will be called COVID. That's my opinion. Or not half, but they will be. And they're going to be saying that because they want you to think that you should be in fear because normal symptoms might actually be super dangerous, but that's not what that actually gives you, is it? Now, here's another one. Here's The Independent, and yet they already had to change their title because they were a little too heavy-handed with it. Omicron symptoms, what to look out for from the new COVID variant. Look what it says. It says, it is very hard to tell the difference between COVID and a cold without testing. That's what they actually wrote first, and that's what I wrote. As has been said, a virus so dangerous you have to be tested and know you have it. They have since changed the subtitle. Now, why would that be? Maybe because it suggests it's no more than a cold? Or maybe it's because it suggests the common cold is being called COVID? Now, you pick. Either way, the truth is being hidden. Because here's what they say now. It's the similar thing, but you'll see the main difference. Latest strain manifests itself in slightly different ways, which was often difficult to differentiate from the common cold. So you see, they remove the idea that it's the same severity. They just go, well, we just couldn't tell the difference because of the testing. And no, that's not what they're saying, but that's what they wanted to say now. The point is, it's hard to tell the difference because they're sniffles and a headache. That's what we're talking about. And that's what they're admitting, yet trying to soft pedal it anyway because it's a little too heavy handed. On a side note, this has been circulating today, and it's an article that somebody posted there. Teachers should tolerate bullying towards unvaccinated children. As far as I can tell, it's actually not real. I looked into it. Doesn't mean that they wouldn't have said that or that they wouldn't have changed the title. But in my research, it doesn't seem that that's actually the case. Just got to be careful. As I said here, guys, after checking, it doesn't appear to be real or the title was later altered. It doesn't seem to be the case. If you find evidence of that, please let me know. But sharing just an image is hurting us. We need to stop this practice. We all need to stop this practice. Sharing, which is, by the way, why I included the link to the actual study. You see what I mean? We have to start doing that. All of us. I actually think this person did this just to get at my attention, you know? But there's a big people sharing this today. Why? Because it aligns with what we expect from other people, specifically from the right who expect that from the left, the two-party illusion. And it must make sense because it works for a partisan point. Now, in regard to natural, before we get to that, this is very important in regard to severity. We're going to get to natural immunity next. It's also Nature. It's amazing how they call us fake news as we continually cite peer-reviewed research from some of the highest scientific publications. But it says age-specific mortality and immunity patterns of SARS-CoV-2. This is November 2nd, 2020, right? Way, way back then. And guess what? Nobody talked about it. Nobody cared. You'd think if they cared about, informing people, they'd have been like, great news, guys. The vast majority of you are barely at risk at all. But you know that already. You know the Oxford calculator. You know all this stuff. We've talked about it. Here's what it says. We use age. Oh, the title reads age. Oh, I think I just read that. Yeah. We use age-specific COVID-19 associated death data from 45 countries and the results of 22 seroprevalence studies in regards to like antibodies in the blood to investigate the consistency of infection and fatality patterns across multiple countries. We find that the age distribution of deaths in younger age groups less than 65 is very consistent across different settings, meaning they're not at risk everywhere, and demonstrate how these data can provide robust estimates of the share of the population that has been infected. I still find it strange the way that we use data in a plural way. I never do. I don't know why. It just sounds strange. These data, or you know what I mean. But anyway, that is correct, though, grammatically. I just don't like it. We estimate that the infection fatality ratio is lowest among 5 to 9-year-old children, with a long linear increase by age among individuals older than 30 years. Very, very telling. And basically, I'll get to the point in regard to the graphs that show you it, but it says, for many countries, the COVID pandemic has been characterized by a heavy burden in residents of nursing homes, with more than 20% of all reported deaths associated occurring in nursing homes in countries like Canada, Sweden, and the UK. 20%. How do we not care about that? I mean, at the very least, you can argue that we should, as quick as possible, get them the hell out of there. If, just like with hospitals, that it seems to be the primary location of transmission, they're not doing their jobs. In addition, I should say, it shows you that there's a problem, and that is hyping up the real risk, because that 20% of deaths is evened out amongst all the age groups, and it's given that are trying to give you that general risk, which is not true. Here, we present a model framework that integrates age-specific COVID-19 associated death from 45 countries, 22 national-level seroprevalence surveys, providing insight from the consistency of infection fatality patterns across countries. This is what real scientific research looks like, not those truncated garbage CDC studies they pump out in 3 weeks from one location and 20 people. It's pathetic. Same, the one they tried to do about the natural immunity is just embarrassing. Because it's subjective and cherry-picked, and it's not real, and plenty of experts have come out and said that. Now, here is the first breakdown. Colored dots represent the country, age-specific, and, of course, it's relative risk, so keep that in mind, first of all, which means it's... I mean, well, just take this as in regard... So, I don't want to jump into that, actually, but the relative risk, remember, is different because absolute risk reduction is what we should be going by in regard to the individual and what your actual current risk is. Relative risk reduction is used a lot in these kind of contexts in regard to when you're using different ages and breakdowns like this. And that remember with the video we've shown you, in regard to the actual benefit of the vaccine or injection, they use relative because all it really shows you is the benefit you gain. So if I have a 1% risk and this gives you a 0.5 reduction, well, they say it's 50%. 50% relative risk because they've dropped it by 50%, but that's not accurate because it doesn't really mean you have a 50% reduction in the general risk. It's just different from what the person is in the study that you're looking at who didn't get injected. The reality is that your risk is way higher from these things. But in this case, the breakdown across the age groups, it's showing you that this is just the first one that basically up until, and this is relative and it's based on the percentage. And you can see that between from 0 to 25, it's, oh, dang it. I just lost some other highlighting I had in there, but it shows you from 0 to 25, you're below 0.01, aggressively below 0.01 when you get below 15, which is what we keep telling you. Now, this is not even the best one. Let's go down to the next one. I had some other things highlighted, and now I just lost it, but oh well. This is the most important one. Look at this breakdown. Look at the numbers here. It starts at 0.0001. And this is why the Oxford calculator puts these people at 1 in a million risk, because this is accurate. And by the way, this is why I made the point about the relative. This is infection fatality rate percentage. Not dealing with relative. This is infection fatality rate percentage. And it says that if you are 0 to 4, weirdly a jump here, and I do think there's a reason for that, but I'm not going to get into it today. It is below 0.01%. It's actually about between 0.001 and 0.001. But then you go to 5 to 9, below 0.001%. Same thing with all these. All the way, you have to go all the way above 30 years old to get above 0.01%, which puts you maybe about the flu. Now, I argue that when you get above those numbers, or just in general for that matter, what's happening here is a general breakdown of the elderly, the risk to other people that kind of averages this out. Either way, what we need to focus on, the main point, is that children are not at risk, and but you know this, and absolutely do not benefit from this injection. 100%. And they know this because the data shows that. All they're really pretending is giving it to them helps us. So you're using them as a barrier of protection, which makes you cowards and bad people. Shoot, I know there was some other point in here, but I'm not going to take the time to suss it out because it'll take too long. Oh, well. It was making my point for me. So read through it for yourselves. It pretty much clearly shows you that children aren't at risk. They don't need this. And age-specific mortality and immunity is how we should be looking at this. And they've been saying that from the beginning. That also leans into the Great Barrington Declaration in regard to how we shouldn't, one size fits all is not scientific. That's what they want you to think, though. Now, here we go to the point that I had to search for a second ago. 70% of London's COVID hospitalizations diagnosed after being admitted for other ailments, which means it's not dangerous. If you don't even know you have this, then you're not in risk, man. I mean, it's just so frustrating how obviously this keeps happening. Now, it doesn't mean that you couldn't eventually become in a situation, you know, maybe early caught it, you're going to get worse. Oh, sure, that's possible. But take that one point again and don't just make that the only story. Stand back and look at everything we already told you and everything we told you yesterday and everything we told you last month. It's obvious this is not more dangerous. Neither was Delta, if that's even what we're actually looking at. Because remember, the vaccine side effects, what they're causing or what they're leading to, spike protein and so on, could very clearly be what we're talking about. 70%, guys. This is them testing in hospitals and using that to bolster the numbers. This is the same with the children. That's why Newsweek said almost 50% of the hospitalizations around children are not real. They're going in with a broken leg and being told they have COVID, and they're getting released. And that goes down as a COVID hospitalization. And then, God forbid, they die from an infection in that leg, or they die from some other issue they went in with. That goes down as a COVID death, even though that wasn't even why they died. This is the illusion. Now here, oh wait, I think I put it in the wrong spot. Oh well. Finishing off with the first segment here in a clumsy way, more than 1,000 Christmas flights canceled in response to Omicron. 1,000, right? So this is not severe in any way. Everything's telling us that. As we even get into Botswana and South Africa more, it's going to be even more clear. More transmissible, it seems to be, so they tell us. But so that the idea, though, from a lot of epidemiologists and experts, in fact, leading in the world, are telling you that's exactly what we should want. That's the usual progression. Less severe, more transmissible, and it goes away, right? You're not hurting people if you're just spreading a cold and then it continues to go away, right? I mean, don't you take note of how they're not really bleeding anymore. They probably will soon, about the long haul. Why is that? Because don't forget, that has been thoroughly shown to be not, at the very least, not even remotely definitive. And we also showed you that major study with very, very highly regarded scientists that showed you that most of the people who had what they called long haul, you couldn't even tie it back to COVID. They were people that said they had COVID. The people who you can actually verifiably test and tell them they had COVID, which again, that's even disputable, they're the ones that are you study, and it turns out they don't have any of those things. None of them do. All of the supposed long-haul cases are in people that they can't prove had COVID. That's psychological, guys. But nonetheless, not serious, and yet we're canceling Christmas flights. Do you realize what's crazy about this is these are people that have paid for flights, are waiting in line, had whole plans. And it's not like they said, you have to have restrictions, you have to prove you're vaccinated, which they also have to do, which they went out of their way to do. And some of these people probably got coerced into the injection just so they could go see their family. And then they cancel the flights. For what? The risk? That's what they're claiming. What risk? This is irrational. And I can promise you, this is going to really upset the people who went to do this and thought they were doing the right thing and then got screwed. Meanwhile, people that are doing none of this are doing what they want anyway. That's bothering these people, and that's why they're coming after them in a negative way to justify their own choices. That's crazy. Are they going to reimburse them? As some the person who shared this with me, I think it was, was it Marshall? I forget now, but basically said, I bet you they're going to use our tax dollars to reimburse these people. It's just disgusting. Based on nothing. Now here's Danny Rancourt pointing out, if leading journal peer-reviewed science mattered whatsoever, then the public health officials injecting children would all be in jail or out on bail. And he lists these three studies, and two of them are very new. And he's right. What happened to the idea of trust the science? These are leading peer-reviewed scientific studies, leading journals with peer-reviewed scientific studies. Is that not the gold standard? So they tell us, well, I guess they just happen to ignore these, don't they? Well, first of all, this is the new one. Thank you, Denny, for sharing this. This is fantastic. And I'm hoping to do more work with Denny in the future. I think he's doing a fantastic job out there, just really continuing to attack this narrative. And from a very highly credentialed, you know, this of all people out there, he's one of these people you should really be listening to, especially with the recent study very clearly showing with their information and their data that this is at most likely an illusion. That's just what I've been talking about from the beginning. Now, first one he points out is this one right here. Well, why don't we start with the other two since we've already talked about them? Here is, the first one since we've already talked about the first one. You've seen this. This is the actual study. I typically end up showing the article they put out about the study just because it's more, you know, pronounced. And then the links are in here. It's also from Nature, though. You can see it May 26th, May 27th. Had COVID, probably make antibodies for a lifetime. Talked about that many times. That's that study right there. Now, these two, we haven't shown. And this is important. This is important stuff. Here's the first one. Published 2 days ago. Children develop robust and sustained cross-reactive spike-specific immune responses to SARS-CoV-2 infection. Very important. Now, this is specifically about children, but the finding at the end, I find to be very clear. Now, read this, please, as always, because the information in here is very important. Now, the main finding here, our detailed analysis of adaptive immune memory identifies a number of important features in young children. Remember, we just showed you the risk that they don't have on top of this. A key finding was that the magnitude of the adaptive immune response to SARS-CoV-2 is higher in children compared to adults. You already know this. This is somewhat, and that's, by the way, that's what they're saying there is this, which is good for everybody, is even better in children. Now think about the waning garbage that we're seeing after these injections and boosters and pretend that that makes sense in comparison to this. It says, this is somewhat different to previous reports that showed lower T cell responses in children, which in my mind is people lying, manipulated science. This is Nature showing like, look, we found that they are exponentially better and they're going, strangely enough, some of these other people were claiming the opposite. Look at it, compare it to their research and look back at this study and you will laugh. Anyway, I'm glad there's some people out there just honestly showing what they're finding. Using the well-validated MSD system, we observed nucleocapsid-specific antibody responses in children, but it was noteworthy that immune responses were much more focused against spike. Now, I think this is relevant for a lot of reasons that may flesh out more as we go forward, especially in regard to whether or not this is something that was natural or engineered. But on top of that, it's something that shows you that this is their immunity is focused in on what appears to be the focal point of what these things are going forward. And not producing spike proteins in your body to get there, right? That's what the injection's doing, creating the very thing that is dangerous for you for your safety. Exactly. More dangerous things for your safety, because that just seems to be their tagline. One striking feature was that SARS-CoV-2 infection in children doubled antibody titers against all four alpha and beta HCoV subtypes. All four. Then it says, however, SARS-CoV-2 infection in children also boosted HCoV-specific antibody responses that were not directly cross-reactive, as demonstrated by increased titers against alpha coronaviruses that could not be pre-absorbed. Our data show that SARS-CoV-2 infection, in general, acts to fill the COV-specific antibody space, producing antibodies against all coronaviruses, and potentially supporting immunity in later life. That's a general statement. That's very clear. Now, at what point do we stop pretending that natural immunity is not continuing to make antibodies and T cell memory B responses to all the variants of concern continuing to go forward? Oh, that's where this was supposed to go, as we've continued to tell you, right? Here's the one from August. Ultra potent antibodies against diverse and high transmissible SARS-CoV-2 variants. As the conclusion finds very clearly, as we've seen many times, the study demonstrates that convalescent subjects, in this case, they're discussing people who got sick before these and came back in 2020, previously infected with the original strain, produce antibodies that cross-neutralize emerging ones that just came out, variants of concern, with high potency. There's no misunderstanding that. So here we are. We're finding exactly the same. And there was points down here at the bottom. In conclusion, we showed that children display a characteristically robust and sustained adaptive immune response against SARS-CoV-2 with substantial cross-reactivity against other HCOVs. Furthermore, they will help to guide the introduction and interpretation of vaccine development in the pediatric population. Now, sorry, nature. I know you want to believe they want to do the right thing, but they're not, and they won't. It should guide the introduction of these injections, but as they're right now screaming this needs to be jammed in their arms as fast as possible, and Israel's right now introducing a fourth shot in children and everybody, let's pretend like that makes sense. But I guess we, you know, it's always good to be hopeful about what they might do, but they're not. They're not using this as a guide at all. Or any of the other things we've shown from before, which is Denny Rancourt's point, that this is not new information. Now, we've shown you this forever in everybody's context, and they still don't care. Here's the other one. This is the one he showed next. Here. And that one reads, prolonged activation of nasal immune cell populations and development of tissue resident SARS-CoV-2 specific CD8 T cell responses following COVID-19. So this is a really important one as well. This is specifically about your mucosal immunity. The very thing this injection very clearly does not do, which is why they're trying to rush out some spray version that does that, and a pill that does this other thing, and do them all together and say that it works. Nope, we'll get to the pill later on about they just approved another one that we just reported had birth defect problems, and they just approved that too, but nobody cares. The point here is that they're finding new mucosal immunity very obviously that seems to go on forever in natural immunity. SARS-CoV-2 specific CD8 T cells. Remember the very T cells that seem to be removed or decreased aggressively after the injection. A very important one, in fact. One that continues to show you the discussion was that these things, or is it right here, I think, are what fight off other problems. And as Ryan Cole's been showing you, that they're in fact being removed, and that's why we're seeing an explosion of cancers and other problems.
But what we're seeing in the laboratory after people get these shots, we're seeing a very concerning locked-in, low profile of these important killer T cells that you want in your body. It's almost a reverse HIV. In HIV, you lose your helper T cells, your CD4 cells. In this virus post-vaccine, what we're seeing is a drop in your killer T cells, your CD8 cells. And what do CD8 cells do? They keep all other viruses in check. What am I seeing in the laboratory? I'm seeing an uptick of herpes family viruses. I'm seeing herpes. I'm seeing shingles. I'm seeing mono. I'm seeing a huge uptick in human papillomavirus in the cervical biopsies and the cervical pap smears in women. In addition to that, there's a little infectious, you know, bump the kids get called molluscum contagiosum. What do you need to keep that in check? You need CD8 killer T cells. I am seeing a 20 times increase in individuals over the age of 50 of this little bump and rash. You know, that's innocuous, but what it tells me is the immune status of these individuals who have gotten the shot. We're literally weakening the immune system of these individuals. Now, most concerning of all is there's a pattern of these types of immune cells in the body that keep cancer in check. Well, since January 1 in the laboratory, I've seen a 20 times increase of endometrial cancers over what I see on an annual basis.
He goes on to talk about it quite more extensively. I mean, it's just obvious that this is something that is not your, I mean, you could add this to the other points we've made many times. The very clear data from peer-reviewed research that shows you that in taking this injection for the first 20 days, it actually increases your risk of infection. It peaks at 7. For 7 days, it increases your risk of infection by 50%. Then it tapers down, but up to 20 days, it's an increase. On top of that, it creates lymphocytopenia. It suppresses your immune system. Verifiable information, up to 50% of people. It also doubles your risk of cardiac event. Right? Add all of that to this situation. Then it also removes CD8 T cells, which are needed to fight off other things. It's almost like this thing was designed to make you sick, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. But going forward, as it says here, SARS-CoV-2 specific CD8 T cells persisted at least 2 months after viral clearance in the nasal mucosa, indicating that COVID-19 has both transient and long-term effects on upper respiratory tract immune responses. Long-term effects. The injection doesn't even create mucosal immunity. This is telling you long-term, or indicates that. We confirm that acute COVID-19 leads to transient increases of respiratory granulocyte monocyte subsets and extended to this CD11C NK cells and CD4 T cells. This pro-inflammatory response positively correlated with viral load and inversely correlated with time-sent admission, while specifically nasal neutrophilus showed a strong negative association with oxygen saturation in the blood. I believe I had one. No, I think that was it. The bottom line, as we've been getting at, this is because of natural infection. And it's just every which way it's showing you that. And that's what Denny's point is. If leading journal peer-reviewed science mattered whatsoever, then public health officials injecting children, or anybody for that matter, would all be in jail or out on bail. But children specifically, in my mind, which leads us to the next point of the Brownstone Institute saying, well, the UK currently doesn't advise vaccines for 5 to 11-year-olds, while the US starts to mandate them. I mean, even if you believe they're right, shouldn't it matter that there's other people in the world, entire health institutions or entire governments that are going, yeah, I think you're wrong. Shouldn't that matter? Shouldn't that then play a factor in whether we get to decide whether that makes sense? Nope, you're going to force it anyway, because that's your plan. Don't forget that we just discussed this, and I thank you for, I forget who it was who shared this with us. This is a transcript. This is Dr. Gottlieb, who is openly saying, when a toddler presents to the hospital with a respiratory illness, what I'm told by physicians on the ground is that they make a presumptive diagnosis of COVID, even if the kid doesn't test positive for COVID out of an abundance of caution. They just say they're COVID positive anyway, even if they're tested and say that it's not. So it says there may be some overreporting of COVID positives when it comes to very young children. Yeah, that's concerning. This is the only way you could pretend that makes sense is in the middle of like an black plague level pandemic where you're just going, just triage, right? Triage. That's what this is. Triage. That's what they do. The problem, though, is they then use those numbers to restrict people. They use those numbers in the news to hype the danger and the fear, or they argue that children need to be injected, but it's not real. Sort of like the 50% hype of the hospitalizations, or the fact that it's proved. I believe that was Johns Hopkins expert on the Wall Street Journal that opened up and said, look, they've never verified a single death from COVID-19 around these children. None of them. Yet we're hyping up all the risk. Even if 400 deaths were what happened, that's not enough to justify forcing it something in their arm that they don't need, that they're not at risk from. But even then, they have to hype that up because it's not happening. And you know why it's not happening? Because of what we just showed you. Because they have sustained cross-reactive, spike-specific immune responses. And if we're pretending this is what we're telling you it is, and especially with Omicron, or what they're telling you it is, then most people already have natural immunity. And all we're doing is forcing injections in their arms that are removing that immunity, removing their antibodies. Here's the next part that adds to that. MRI scan to diagnose myocarditis after COVID-19 has been added to Medicare benefit schedules. And who is suffering the most from myocarditis? The young children. At least that's what they tell us. So here we are adding that exact treatment diagnosis on Medicare benefits while screaming it's super rare and you're all conspiracy theorists. But let's force that in the children's arms, even though they don't need it. They're not at risk. They have clear immunity. It's just on and on and on. This is so alarming to me. Oh, that's what happened. How did I do that? In any case, same point adds to this as well. 70% of the hospitalizations that they're having, that they're using to hype that fear, are being admitted after, are being tested and told they have it after being admitted for other ailments. And that's, even then, remember, we're still seeing the majority of hospitalizations in the UK in the fully vaccinated. Explain that for me. Explain how that makes sense with their narrative. It doesn't, and you know that. Now onto the booster discussion. Here's Max Headroom. Thank you for shouting this out for me. He says, the headline is booster protection wanes against symptomatic Omicron infections. And guess what? They say it wanes. Where was the? In 10 weeks. Think about that. And of course, the point is it starts to wane immediately. This is the reality. Look at the information, just like the rest of them, just like everything else. You're given this thing, and it's basically a ticking time bomb of no longer working, if it even works the same way. or if at all, the way they want you to think it does. But as he points out, why would you think it wouldn't wane is the question. Of course it will. Booster protection wanes against Omicron within 10 weeks, according to the new data. This is from the New York Times. Here's their article. Booster protection wanes against symptomatic Omicron infections. Now, the point is, if this wanes in general, that means that it begins to go away. That's what that means. That's not what we're seeing with natural immunity. That's not what we're seeing in the only thing we're seeing that in is regard to what they're forcing in your arm. And remember, they just said the third one was the one that did it. That's the one, right? It neutralizes. Okay, but it doesn't neutralize, which means removing the harm if it starts to wane right away and 10 weeks later. I mean, come on, guys. This is, and take note of the time frame, which we'll touch on it again in a minute. 10 weeks. What is that? Well, it's almost 3 months. Isn't that interesting? It's almost like that three-month time frame that the St. Louis County government let slip out of the bag early on was actually what they were always planning. Isn't that weird? Or we just got really lucky guessing this 7 months ago, right? Or using evidence to prove that wasn't a guess, but we'll get there in a second. The United Kingdom Health Security Agency report published on Thursday suggests that the effectiveness of COVID-19 booster against symptomatic infections of Omicron wanes within weeks. The report included, where was it? I just removed my highlighting. I had it a moment ago. Analyzed the percentage of vaccine effectiveness between reports of cases and two strains. And again, just take a moment to realize that there even this is being based on reported cases. Like that, if you could, you could not pick a more subjective data point. In a thousand ways, that's completely made. But you see what I mean? And even then, it still is showing you what we are talking about. They compared the effectiveness of those who received a Pfizer Moderna booster between reported cases of Omicron and Delta. The percentages were a far cry from the vaccine effectiveness of individuals who had Delta. That's an interesting way to frame that. So people who had Delta, meaning they have natural immunity, well, yeah, I think that would make sense. I don't think that's the way they meant that to sound. Now, there's one other point in here. Anyway, read it for yourself. Let's get to these are easier to get to. I hate when they hit the hill. And basically, all these mainstream sites are seeming to do that now. Like the Israeli websites where they just refresh and you can't keep things on there. Maybe that's why. But here's the interesting point. First, read the tweet down here. An amazing video. Here. Basically, this is basically a video saying all these people in Israel came out to fight against this technocratic situation. Like, these are Israelis standing up against everything that's happening. Now, it says thousands of Israelis protesting for freedom and human rights against the Green Pass and tyranny. Police, violent. Citizens, nonviolent. Think about that in comparison to what we just talked about today. These aren't Palestinians. I mean, so if they're doing this to Palestinians, then when the Israelis speak up, they do the same thing. Remember, you know how many times we've shown you in the past of the Orthodox Jewish population, or specifically the Orthodox Jewish priests who aggressively speak out about the blasphemous nature of the entire concept of Zionism and everything that government represents, right? Because they lie. Zionism is a political movement that's hijacked Judaism. And Orthodox priests, a lot of them in the Israeli occupied Palestine, will speak up about that. And then they get beat up by the IDF, and that doesn't make the news. I've shown you plenty of clips like that. But here's the point again, to show you that this is not just all of it. It's not as the way that they want people to frame it as. There is a lot of Jewish people, a lot of Israeli citizens that very clearly see what's happening and very clearly see that Palestinians are being abused and so on. I don't think it's the majority, but there's a lot of them. But nonetheless, they're standing up, guys, against all of this. As she says, this is the first country to get fully jabbed. Remember that. The first country in the world to get everybody injected. 85%. After that, said no to the booster. Or excuse me, then at 85, then to the booster, right? So 80 went from everybody to then 85%. So 15 kind of said, well, I don't know about the booster. Then 55% of the population are saying no to the fourth shot. They have, and the point she's saying, they've saved their children. Only 10% have taken the jab all over the world, and we're standing together. So they're stopping the children from getting injected. They're realizing that the population is kind of going, you know what, this doesn't make sense. The fourth shot's a little hard to add to that, because it's just only really coming out, but that's crazy. But the idea that the third shot is the same point, it's less and less of them are going along with this. People are waking up to this, guys, as much as they really don't want you to see this all over the world, all over the world. Here's a great article that was sent to me by a friend of mine, Vivian Berkovicki, Israeli public wising up to the COVID hysterics. People can read, they say, and think. They know what the panic is based on. Little. And they are furious. This is from yesterday. It says, on Wednesday morning, Israelis awoke to learn that a fourth COVID shot would be made available immediately to everybody over 60, which is just what happened with the first two and the third, where they said at first, then it becomes mandatory. No context. No information as to why the fourth shot was even being considered. Think about that. As to the average person that's not watching our show or anybody else's, they're told the third shot will save them. It's over, right? Omicron, like they do with every other step. That's it. Take that one. You're all good. Oh, we were wrong. Take this one. Then you're all good, right? Same thing. They were told a third shot would neutralize this. It's going to work. And then we're good. Then with no context, they just released the fourth shot. They're going, wait a minute. You just told me I was good. I just got forced into the booster. And you didn't even give me a reason for the fourth shot. It's almost like we're just supposed to assume that we should go get it. Right. That's the point. Even the National Post is going, this doesn't make any sense. The third shot, formerly known as the booster, was urged on the basis of actual evidence, and I disagree with that, what they claimed was their evidence, showing that 5 to 6 months after the shot, antibody counts declined significantly. 5 to 6, 3 is what their data really showed, and they got basically down to zero after 6 months. The hope was that that 3 ought to do the trick. A broadly accepted scientific presumption is that current vaccines will be less effective the more the virus mutates. It's not a broadly, that's an easy thing to understand. It's just very clear. And that's assuming it was even effective to begin with. And it wasn't. Didn't stop transmission. And all they did was hype up what they were using. They used relative risk reduction instead of absolute. I mean, they had all these ways to manipulate what came out of that. And it's just falling apart in front of your eyes. Omicron is a significant mutation from the original COVID virus, they say. Query them. Excuse me. The utility of further doses. Some say no harm done. That's ridiculous. But that's playing into the illusion. There's no possible risk from this thing. But others are reluctant to inject the population so cavalierly. Yeah, what maniacs? How dare they question that we should just cavalierly inject people with things that haven't been tested properly and that are still being tested and that we don't have long-term studies for. Dang it. I closed that on accident just now. All right. This is why I keep pulling this back. Oh, that's right. Hold on. Forgot it was way down here. Because this is, blows my mind. The long-term safety of COVID-19 mRNA vaccine, we're talking about Pfizer, is unknown at present. Unknown. Still studying you for up to 2 years right now. So, that's the point. Reluctant to inject us with something we don't know if safe for long-term? How is that even happening when that is easily looked up? The media is not telling people about it. That's how. A directly relevant research project undertaken at Tel Aviv's Sheba Hospital will be completed in approximately 2 weeks. This is strange. The precise scope and nature of that particular study has not been disclosed. Great. So they get to use your money to study things. And you don't get to know about it, though. Top secret. Seems like the direction our government's going, isn't it? But one public health official in the room with Bennett counseled prudence, suggesting that the panel should wait for these results before deciding on a fourth dose. No way, decreed Bennett. Who cares about facts and science? He and several other members of the panel preferred alarmist type, referring to Omicron as a tsunami, a train barreling toward us, forcing us to make decisions in a vacuum. This is mainstream media calling this out. Bennett further declared that a paralyzing wave of Omicron will overwhelm Israel in 10 days. Clearly that didn't happen, and they're wrong. Said deluge will be shorter, but more powerful than previous waves, he warned, and will last for 8 to 9 weeks. It's pretty specific, isn't it? Exactly what he bases his forecasting on in terms of actual data remains unclear. What we do know, based on the data from South Africa, is that Omicron is highly contagious, but also maybe burning itself out. We know that the symptoms presenting in South Africa, a country in which only about a third of the population had received one or two vaccine shots, are mild. Now, that's what they're saying. I don't know if we know that for sure based on a lot of other things, but that's what they're telling us. Now, it's interesting that Bennett, so Israel, the prime minister of Israel, came out and said it's going to be a tsunami, a wave, a paralyzing wave. And you know who perfectly parroted that without making that clear? Mr. Tom Frieden. Isn't that perfect? A tidal wave, Omicron, will hit the U.S. and other countries at the worst possible time. It's almost like he's just repeating what he's told to say. Isn't it weird? Well, here's an interesting thing to point out. That's just my opinion. Doesn't it? You could think for yourself on what he is doing. But this is what I keep pointing out about these manipulators. Absolute hype based on the hypothetical. Isn't that perfect? a tidal wave of Omicron will hit the U.S. And he doesn't suggest that we don't know that for sure, or that this is hypothetical, or it's based on assumption. Nope. He's just, you're all going to die because this and that. And then he goes right there from the 17th to the 23rd and says, oh, it looks like Omicron caused more of a flash flood than a wave. Still unknown, though. Oh, so you're admitting you didn't know then, but you lied and hyped it up then? Yep. Yeah, liar. What will happen to hospitals if U.S. cases skyrocket? Like, just jumping to the next hypothetical, right? Yeah, we didn't know. We got that wrong. But look over there. What happens if this happens? Scare, danger. This is a doctor. This person should be, you think for yourself. This is disgusting and wrong that they're using people like this, blue checked and pinned and signed right at the top of your feed every day to say, danger, danger, fear, fear. We don't know for sure, but be scared. Here's the next point. He says this back on the 17th. All this time has passed, right? This is what they're saying on the 23rd, going, yeah, it's clearly that's not what happened, right? So the 23rd, he's going, yeah, it turns out really wasn't it was a flash flood, more than a wave. But you know what he didn't do? He didn't make that clear, and he still has the lie pinned to the top of his account. I wonder why that would be. Maybe because it got almost 10,000 likes and 3,000 shares. Isn't that funny? But you can find that tweet way down here. Oh, it's down here. Look at that. 23rd. Posted yesterday. Still not pinned to the top. Why wouldn't you pin that one to the top? Oh, look, he just switched it. How funny is that? What will happen? Let's see what he put it. What will happen with COVID in 2022? Be scared. There's so much we don't know about Omicron and the future of COVID. I outline 12 questions and reveal how we can. Right. We just don't know. We should be so scared that we don't know if it's dangerous. Right. You could frame that as it could be super mild, and that's what the data shows us. And so we should possibly discuss how we aren't at risk. But no, this is a fear porn, breathless, bated breath, screaming you're all going to die kind of guy under the guise of just being, I mean, come on. Isn't it funny how we watched it refresh in front of us? But all the way up until today, so more than 24 hours, he left the fear-mongering threat of how it's going to be a tidal wave and weirdly didn't pin this one that happened yesterday that says, don't worry, though, doesn't seem that's the case. But what happens over here, right? These people are invested in the fear. That's the WHO article talks about all the way back in 2011. This is what they do. They're invested in the hype. Now, here we are with a H&F council, another blue check over here, telling you all we need to get is a COVID booster vaccine because two doses does not give you enough protection against catching Omicron, suggesting this one protects you against Omicron. That's what the English language works. Right? This one doesn't give you enough. So take this one to protect you against catching Omicron. Get boosted now, they say. COVID vaccines lose power like batteries. This is the treating you like you're in kindergarten. Let's give them a nice, cute little graph and give you here, it's like a battery. You got to recharge your battery. Nope, that's just stupid. If it was real and working, that's not how that actually works. Yes, things wane over time. So it is natural immunity. Antibodies. But what we're seeing in regard to everything else around natural immunity is that your T cell actually increases over time. That's why it's lasting the rest of your life. But yeah, get the thing that wanes real quickly and recharge that battery every 3 months because that was always the plan. As I said, they're claiming the third dose of the same thing will suddenly protect you against catching Omicron. Despite that being verifiably false, verifiably with a Y, son of a gun, don't forget, you can lie all you want on how good and effective this thing is, but you can't tell the truth about its dangers. Happy COVID, everybody. This is the reality. It doesn't matter. You can lie all over the place about the great things this can accomplish, even though it's clear they won't. But the moment you jump in and go, yeah, that's not censored. People, verifiable doctors, everybody, people that have documents from their doctor and censored fake news. It's incredible. But it won't stop you from catching Omicron because it's obvious it doesn't even stop transmission. And everybody's telling you that. On top of the fact that they're right now telling you we need a fourth dose. Or the fact that the Omicron is, where was the part we were just looking at? The discussion was, I forget where it was. But the discussion was that this thing is not stopping it, right? But it doesn't matter because we're going to just keep using the idea, take the next one. Oh, you only have one? Take the second one. It'll save you. And then once you get that, we'll say, well, the third one. I'll still get the third one. Silly. This is a real world campaign to lie to you about what's really going on. As Clown World Today points out, Clown World indeed. Now, here is more discussion about the fourth dose already being justified, even though they're barely saying that, in their minds, I should say, justified by them, But on top of that, him already suggesting that a fifth dose is in the cards. It's exactly what we always keep telling you, and it's just time to start listening to what they are actually saying to you.
And some may have raised their eyes at the time when we ordered 60 million Pfizer for 2022 and 15 million Moderna for 2022.
Remember, like more than the population, right? And people would go, wow, what? That obviously shows you they're going to need more. And then people said, oh, fake news. It's because of all these other reasons the news said. Well, here you go. They were right again. Damn conspiracy theorists.
We were anticipating that there may need to be a third and a fourth dose. There was no medical advice to that effect at that point in time, but we were anticipating that there may need to be a third and a fourth dose. And indeed, there's enough.
Which, by the way, tells you right there that they were anticipating a fourth dose back when they were pretending that was crazy fake news. When they bought those injections, they are already factoring in a possible fourth dose. That's why France and I believe the UK got caught having a fourth slot way before we were even on number three, right? Guys, they saw this. They knew it. They kept that from your view because, oh, we don't want people to be scared. We want them to get the second shot, so we can't scare them with four shots right now. Even if you believe they're doing this because they believe it's for the good, they lied to you and censored people that exposed that lie. I don't know why that's okay with anybody.
With those figures for five doses at that point in time, but we were anticipating that there may need to be a third and a fourth dose. And indeed, there's enough with those figures for five doses. And
five doses is going to happen. I mean, that's my opinion, but I'm saying, I mean, not even like that's a big call. I think we all see that coming. But here is an important discussion from Andrew Bostom, MD-PMS. Amidst coercive COVID-19 Omicron booster mania, reminder that only booster random controlled trial data we have, Pfizer, 10,000 participants, again, pointing to the, it's just pathetic how these things are being used as the sprawling most ever when you could point to the Nature study that's just exponentially larger than that, failed to show improvement in, just so you don't miss the point there, amidst this mania, reminder that the only boosted random controlled trial data we have failed to show improvement in any of these basic outcomes. Any transmission, hospitalization, death, infection rate among previously infected. Nothing. It's amazing. And here's the link. You can look at it for yourself. The point, just to read you this main point, and you can read we've already gone over this stuff with you. Dr. Alan Friedman's recent Brownstone essay. Different Friedman, by the way, citing randomized controlled trial data on primary COVID-19 vaccination demonstrated the Pfizer Moderna trials showed that in lower risk populations, which account for most of society, COVID-19 vaccines do not reduce mortality. Therefore, vaccine mandates, which are enormously costly and terribly divisive, are a cure worse than the disease. Read it for yourself. It's very frustrating how much this is out there. And it goes back to Denny's point. Wherever that was, if leading peer-reviewed science, leading journals, if it mattered at all, this would be over already. They don't care about this stuff, and they're actively keeping it from your view to push more injections. Now, remember, this point, as we've shown many times, we'll do this first and then that last. Here is Disclosed TV, just in, as of yesterday, Australia cuts booster dose interval from 5 to 4 months to 3 months. What do you know? Isn't it weird how we keep seeing it there and then this one and that one over there and this they're going to do it too. All over the place. It continues to add more credence to the idea of why this came out early and got pulled back. This is on an archive page. As I keep telling you before, there were three of them I caught and I only got to save one of them. But we keep seeing this validated everywhere. I'll just read the entire thing. This is what son of a gun. I hope I didn't lose that just now. These archives keep getting removed as well, which is frustrating. Okay, good. So, there it goes. This is St. Louis website about it. This in and of itself is alarming. A quarantine isolation order that just makes it, that gives them power to do whatever they want, whenever they want, if they feel like there's danger, which is just like everybody else, like Lori Lightfoot, like everybody. Now, it says under their definitions, fully vaccinated person. And they're talking about the same back and forth, right? So people, you know, you're fully vaccinated if you have 14 days after your second dose. which pretty much, so even after, so one dose, still not fully vaccinated. Two doses, still not fully vaccinated. 14 day, up to 13 days after you have two doses, if you have dropped dead, you go down as a not vaccinated. We've shown you that all over the place. Now, additionally, they add, after 3 months from that last dose, so technically 2 months and 2 weeks, is the only period where you're ever considered fully vaccinated. 2 months and 2 weeks, that's it, ever. A person is no longer considered to be fully vaccinated after 3 months. Well, that's exactly what's fleshing out around the three-month boosters. Everywhere they're doing this, everywhere. And I keep pointing back to the Israeli data that made that clear. After 3 months, this thing drops off a cliff, and it's already being shown right now. They're already telling you the booster wanes, just like everything else. Now, bringing this over into the cardiac event discussion, because I want to make a quick point about this. Another reason to be concerned about the injection and how it's being forced, because nobody seems to care about this. And I wanted to keep this frozen from last time and refresh, because I promise you it's gone up. I haven't done this yet. I don't even know how much it's gone up. From the last show we did, which was 2 days ago, it says 370 athlete cardiac arrests, serious issues, 209 dead. And you can see the update right here from December to December 22nd. Now let's refresh it and see what it says. So nine more people have died, had cardiac arrests. Nine more people have died. Nine. Since 2 days ago, nine more athletes have collapsed. Nine more people have died. And the only ones they're citing right here are the ones they can prove had the injection and then had some sort of a cardiac arrest afterward. That's it. Now, nobody here is arguing this is a guaranteed proof that this caused every one of them. That's what they want to frame it as, because then they want to make you seem like you're crazy and you're making stuff up, and I'll use this next point to make that. But after the shot, it's all the same. They got the shot, and then that happened. And then our point would be, and the same point this and everybody else is making when they're being honest about this then is exponentially more than what you would expect in a normal year. That has to be considered. They're not. Even their argument to say it's because they didn't go to the hospital in that time, that's not true. We're talking about some of the most athletic people that don't have issues from before. They, in this article, they differentiate between people that have previous issues too. The reality is, it's obvious there's something going on here. Even athletes are speaking out, commentators are speaking out, and they're being suppressed and censored. Here's a fact check that came out yesterday. Didn't they already do? Yeah, they did. This is like the fourth, fifth one. They're trying to keep this topic down. And here's how they do this. Instead of addressing like this article, or shows from our shows, or anybody else, the full picture, or let's say the Defender has done a topic on this. I think the Highwire's covered. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of people, in fact, that are in considered some of the 72 most influential media outlets, right, are in this discussion, making huge statements about this, very clearly saying this is alarming. Where was I? Oh, that went too far. Way too far. And making a much bigger argument than specifically soccer players and specifically 108. So what do? They seek out and find social media posts. This is what I tell you every time, that make this argument and make sure that they're using subjective arguments and just pulling in and making art like they're all died from the vaccine and we know it for sure. Things like that. And then that's how they use debunk people like us. They're terrified of this. They're cowards because they know what we're doing. Otherwise, I mean, if they could fact check what we're saying about it and directly call us out, they would. Fact check the list. So not the topic, but this specific list of 108 FIFA soccer players is not proof. Well, at the very least, they didn't say evidence of a common link between COVID vaccines and athlete deaths. So they don't even get into whether there is a common. They're just going, well, that thing doesn't prove that link. Fake news. Widespread claims about 108 FIFA soccer players have died in a six-month period in 2021 are not based in fact, nor are suggestions that the alleged deaths are linked to the COVID vaccines. So let me get this straight. So they're clearly admitting that they can cause heart problems. They can cause super rare, fine if you want to pretend that's the case, myocarditis, heart problems. Okay, so that can happen. So then you have people that have the injection and then have a heart problem that they never had before. And yet there's not even a potential. There's nothing to suggest there's a link here. I mean, that's just stupid. And we all know that's stupid. I'm not trying to say we know every single one, but can you not admit that one of those myocarditis cases could have been? Yes, but they're pretending it's not. Nothing can prove that. Thousands of social media users have engaged with posts across Facebook, Twitter, BitChute. See what I mean? That make the specific claim about these 6 months in this specific time frame. quote, 108 young, healthy players in 6 months. On a BitChute video, they elaborate. Let's just pretend. I mean, they're going out of their way to find what they want people to see as fringe posts. Let's just pretend that they didn't take part in pharmaceutical trials and no long-term data. Let's pretend it's not happening. All you can say is those cults anti-vaxxers were wrong. I mean, that's, again, it's just subjective and it's intentionally meant to be that way. Here's the BitChute video.
So I'm sure you all seen by now.
Guys, this is a BitChute video that has 1,306 views. That's it. They only have 1,035 subscribers. And they're debunking it. Good job. Yeah, because clearly people like James Corbett and Highwire, and they all got their information from this little BitChute video. I'm not even disparaging this person's video. I'm just trying to make the argument that they go out of their way to make it look like it all stems back to something that's small and not sourced. And they know they're doing that. That's the crazy part about it. I mean, my videos have more views than that. So do a lot of real discussions and scientific studies. They don't care about that, though. Other examples of the claim can be found here, all Twitter posts and Facebook posts with like 6 shares. It's garbage. I shouldn't say all, obviously, because some of these have reasonably high likes and so on, but that's not all of them. I mean, click them for yourself. You'll see what I mean. A lot of these things are pretty small. Now, the point is, all they do is post to tweets of people who are sharing this, a link to this, without getting the full context. However, it says the cited figure does not relate exclusively to FIFA-registered soccer players. Ah, so now they're going to sidestep the point and say, because it's not just soccer players, all fake news. Reuters has also found multiple factual inaccuracies in linking up the alleged 108 players. Why? Well, because they go to, it says the article itself published, the writer claims 108 professional athletes, coaches, and so on have died. Reuters looked into that list. It appears to be compiled using news reports of deaths. Okay, so exactly what you guys are already always doing, like we just pointed that study, reported cases. It's interesting that that's okay for the mainstream news reporting of science, but not for this person's discussion of verifiable problems in the world, right? Isn't that funny? But here's the main point. In the real-time news article, the writer says the majority of these deaths were heart-related. That's it. Okay, and have occurred since COVID vaccines have rolled out. Is there anything even wrong? Is anything false about that? Not even remotely. But while it says it's true, they say, that many of these deaths were linked in news reports to heart issues, get this, there's no current evidence, that's already false, by the way, that they prove, well, that's just an intentionally confusing way to say that, a common link between COVID-19. That's just actually bad writing, and intentionally so. So basically what they're trying to say is that it doesn't prove the common link. But by including the word evidence, they make it sound like there's no evidence. The current evidence doesn't prove that. Yet there is lots of evidence. And I would argue it does prove that it can happen. So they're lying to you. I mean, it's very clear that this is clearly in some cases happening. And I mean, there has been cases where the doctor said, yeah, obviously that's the vaccine. They just don't care about that. I've already shown you these. Finally, their verdict, no evidence. And that's the point. No evidence? Clearly, there's evidence. You just don't like what it shows. Evidence is not proof, but there is evidence. Evidence is just simply data points. Claims that 108 players died in 2021 are based on a problematic list of deaths. Well, that doesn't even suggest that you did you go look at every one of them? Did you prove all of them false? No. So a problematic list means fake. No evidence. No, you looked at the evidence. You didn't read it all. You just don't like what's problematic for you. The list does not prove a common link. So because it doesn't prove that, you're going to pretend that the list isn't accurate to argue that these people that, I mean, look, they didn't prove anything other than that they can't prove it. Think about that. That's what they're saying, but yet they still come to the conclusion that that's not the case. I mean, this is just bad. It's so bad, and that's the best they can do? It's so obvious, and I didn't bring them up. I don't want to grab them right now, but just look up collapsing athletes on our website, lastamericanvagabond.com. I mean, Jay Wilderness did a great video really early on, maybe one of the first people to talk about this. We talked about this as well in the same time frame, way before anybody was really poking out at this. And now it's everywhere and they're still dismissing it. The children too. As World Alternative Media points out, fake pictures of people dropping in the street in China caused mass panic about a virus. Also realize that weirdly didn't happen anywhere else. Live pictures of fit young athletes dropping on sports fields after the vax. Nothing to worry about, apparently. Why? Because they pretend it's just not real, and people are happy to take that. Now, we also have this absurdity, which should make you sick, because what's happening is they've fired people and forced people to get shots, coerced the very nurses that didn't want to into getting this because they were told they wouldn't get to work otherwise, and now they're hiring those nurses back. Why? Because the people with triple jabs are getting sick. CDC shortens isolation time for healthcare workers. Oh, excuse me, I jumped the gun a little bit there. That's the next point. But this one is about the isolation time. Same scenario, though. This is ridiculous. So the CDC shortens isolation time for healthcare workers. Why? Because we realize they don't need that same distance or the time because it's safe. We can shorten it because that's okay. No, I'm arguing that isolation time in general here and the way they do this is not what I believe in or think is the right thing to do. But they're arguing they need to isolate because if they don't, they're putting people at risk, right? Okay, so if you're going to shorten that isolation time, you damn well better have a good scientific reason for it. They don't. They shorten the isolation time for workers who test positive. Why? Because Omicron surge threatens hospital staffing. Okay, so you don't have enough staffing. Why? Because you fired people that probably had natural immunity. And then you just arbitrarily change a time frame because you don't have enough people. That's not science. That is propaganda. This just keeps getting more and more ridiculous, I said. So they fire all those refusing the jab, likely with natural immunity. Then when those triple jabs start getting sick, they just arbitrarily change the rules because they're short-staffed. Hashtag safety. I mean, good God. And by the way, I'm in no way suggesting these rules should be in place, only that they are hypocrites, getting ahead of those who will inevitably jump to that conclusion, which always happens, right? What are you saying, that they should be quarantined? Somebody always does that. But here is Tim Mohn pointing out something that is very clearly happening. They are now wanting the unjabbed, unvaccinated workers, uninjected workers that they just dismissed to come back to work and help them through the Omicron surge. It's not a joke. It's just incredible. It says right here, provide all unimmunized staff and physicians the option of temporary frequent testing. So again, this might even be a dangerous sidestep that we need to be aware of, because you shouldn't be signing up to be tested either. You shouldn't have to test. You shouldn't have to be sick until proven healthy. It's illegal in every possible way in the way they're conducting all of this. It's also a huge boon for the testing. It also leads into the infrastructure of the vaccine passports if you just simply test all the time, and that works for that too. As long as it leads into the infrastructure for the Great Reset and the way they're applying those passports, it really doesn't matter to the larger agenda. That might be part of it. But the big thing is this is embarrassing for them, because they're pretending those people were the biggest risk to everybody, to the point to where they were literally firing and forcing, and now they're having to eat crow. Having to go, well, we need you because all the people we sold the idea that they would be safe for taking this dangerous thing are now getting sick. Well, here is, I think I just have it next, a nurse who's telling you that's what she just got told, that now they're asking her back. Just temporarily, though, because we're all overrun.
True story. November 15th, I was terminated from my nursing job because of mandates. This weekend, on December 18th, I had a message from staffing asking me if I could work this weekend all through Christmas and all through to the new year. They're so desperately short.
I wanted to grab this for you real quick, if I have the right title. Forget why I had my title on that. Melanie, who we just recently talked with, got fired. Here we go. In the same way, and this was even crazier, because remember, she got fired, told that her faith was not sincerely held belief. How disgusting is that? This is the lengths they were going to fire people like this. And now they're asking them back. God, that's pathetic. I mean, it makes me sick to think that this is, and guess what? They're going to get more people. Get them to come back and then change again and force them again. It's one after the other, slowly forcing these people, and please do not give in. Now, despite all of that and all the realities of everything shifting and changing and the lies being exposed, as we see people continuing to get sick, even once they're getting these dangerous injections, shocking, I know, here's what plenty of people, specifically Attorney General Letitia James, are telling you about ivermectin, despite all the data that we continue to show. I might as well just start with the one that, and I've done entire shows on this, by the way, which you guys have seen. And here's the, that's not the one. Where was it? I think I have it over here. Oh yeah, because this is just on the pill in general, but ivermectin, this is just one. Many of peer-reviewed from Science Direct, from at least from a lot of highly regarded locations, telling you that ivermectin, in this case, a multifaceted drug of Nobel Prize honor distinction with indicated efficacy against COVID-19. It talks about how it has antiviral properties, like very clear antiviral properties, just regardless of whether the FDA wants to acknowledge that or the fact that it clearly does what they're pretending their pills do in a very, very small and truncated and less effective way. Stops it from the spike from decoupling. It reduces the everything. And it finds all of that. You can read it for yourself. That's not my opinion. That is peer-reviewed research telling you that's the case. And there's like four or five of these I can pick up right now that's already been shown. And meanwhile, the FDA is currently researching it about whether they can use it for this, acting like it's dangerous and unjustified, or the CDC, and all of these. And the CDC right now has it on a list of usable things in regard to plenty of other efficacious ways. And they're, again, looking into it in regard to COVID. Regardless, the peer-reviewed science says that. How can you then pretend this is what would happen? New York Attorney General Letitia James' office is sending letters to licensed providers who, by the way, are supposed to use their information, their education, to look at things just like this, not what governments tell them to do, not the FDA and the CDC, but what the science says they should do, and use their own education to decide what's best for their patient in real time. That's what doctors are supposed to do. They're sending letters to licensed providers demanding they cease and desist prescribing ivermectin to what? Help alleviate symptoms of COVID-19. Indicated efficacy against COVID-19. Nobel Prize winning drug. Might as well grab one more. Here we go. Oh, that's the treatment guidelines. I can grab that too. That's the one that shows you they have it on their list. There's a lot of these. It says, as a prophylactic method in healthcare workers, specifically around SARS-CoV-2. This is what it finds. Same thing, that it absolutely has an incredible effect. A reduction of 74%. Their dangerous injections can't even boast that right now. This has been there from the very beginning. There's plenty more I could bring up, but I'm already running long on this. So the point is, guys, they're demanding they cease and desist and giving people something that is verifiably shown to help them. Instead, they want you to go home and get sick, come back when you're ready, or almost dying, to give something to do what? Put a ventilator on you? The same thing I said about my father, which makes me really upset. Sadly, he got the injection, despite what I told him about it, you know, but people make their own choices. And then he got sick. Same with his wife. Right after it. And of course, they sadly said, well, good thing we had the injection because it would have been worse. And I don't know why we assume that. Probably not. In fact, it's pretty clear that's why they, and before that hadn't got it, now they got it. But the point is that he got sick then, went to the hospital. They told him, okay, we're telling you got COVID. And instead of giving him things like vitamin D and whatever else and instructions on what he should do to try to fight that in numerous ways, they said, go home, take ibuprofen, and come back when you're sick. Good. So then we can use more COVID information. No, that should be every reason to give you in anything else you can take to, in a prophylactic sense. They don't care about that right now. I don't know why, as a nurse, as a doctor, you can be okay with that. You know there are things such as vitamins in general, but all just ibuprofen? That's it? Her office is literally going to COVID-19 critical site and tracking down New York providers. That's incredible. On a side note about discussions like this, guys, there's also the reality that in my family, we have people that have, you know, they know of my work and I disagree with it, which everyone can come to their own conclusions about, but sadly have continued to get the shots and have gotten the boosters and they're all sick, all of them. Conversely, my close family here where I am, nobody is sick. Nobody is injected. Weird how that works, right? Now, it's correlates. That's just comparison. You can't prove that one meets the other, but at the end of the day, that's what we keep seeing. It's really sad. And I'm actually really concerned for somebody in my family who has inflammation inside their lungs and all this different stuff, whether that's the mask they all get forced to wear while they work or the injections they took regardless. It is obvious this is happening in anywhere you look. My brother just told me of somebody very close to him whose grandmother they found dead after she got forced to take the shot, even though she knew this and was never going to get it, but got coerced into it because she got accepted for a new job. She gets hired for a new job and she's really excited about it, but waiting for this for well, a long time now. Was never going to get the shot, but then they said, well, you need the shot to have this job. So she said, okay, I'll take it. Days later, she's dead in her bathroom. Now, you know what? She could have died from any number of things. But how many times do we need to see that happen before we start asking whether that was the injection? You know my opinions, but it's important to make sure we're clearly, in a clear way, framing what we're actually saying. Could it have been the injection? Absolutely. Are they asking that? No. In fact, they're running screaming from any indication that it could be, because if you don't look at it, it's not there. Well, ivermectin is something that's being actively kept from them, even though it's clear that there's obvious benefit. Here's Pierre Corey, MD. As per prior tweet, here is Pharma's toothless letter sent by the FDA on Christmas Eve today, trying to get the state and medical and pharmacy boards to scare compounding pharmacies supporting ivermectin's use. Right. No, and don't forget, we just talked about Fauci and Collins, who got caught, verifiably caught, in a letter saying we need to suppress this kind of discussion. It was specifically in regard to the Great Barrington Declaration, but they're the very people that discuss early treatment, specific care, not all one size fits all. They're going after ways like this, and I don't know how you can't see that as a way to stop early treatment that would help people. So this is the evidence from before. Here is the Attorney General towing the line of what's happening here. This is December 13th, U.S. Food and Drug Administration. The purpose of this letter is to bring the attention to the Federation and State Medical Board's information relating to drug protocols containing ivermectin being offered for sale with claims of such products treat, prevent COVID-19 disease, despite the fact that peer-reviewed science from multiple studies literally find that. Right? So what actually makes these things valid? The science and the peer review, or when they decide to acknowledge it? Think about that. Because they can just continue to pretend it's not there. Sort of like all the mountains of evidence of the efficacy of cannabis in regard to cancers and all the things that we've known forever that they pretend still aren't real. Recently, FDA has received complaints about compounding pharmacies selling drug products containing ivermectin, claiming that they can treat COVID-19. Now, of course, what they're trying to frame this as is products containing them. Oh, horse paste. Oh, it's horse paste. It's obviously not the case, as people like Joe Rogan, that they claim horse paste, he got prescribed that from a doctor and got it from a pharmacy. It's an approved drug. It's not even emergency authorized. Sure, it's approved for other purposes, but so is aspirin that gets used in 1,000 different ways that it's not approved for every day. And then on top of that, you have peer-reviewed science that says that it's not dangerous for this exact use. Ivermectin tablets are FDA approved for human at very specific doses to treat some parasitic worms, and there are FDA approved topical ones. However, the FDA has neither authorized nor approved. You see, they didn't say you could, and so it's fake news, illegal. Are you pretending? Are we actually pretending that they don't know about the research? Of course they know that's there. That's not even addressed in this. As here's what it says. Currently available data do not show that ivermectin is safe or effective for COVID-19. Huh? I mean, do they not know? I mean, you have to really ask that question. If they don't know this and the other four or five that I've seen, is more than that by far. If they don't know this is there, that should be enough to make you scared about anything else they're saying. But on top of that, if they do know it's there and they're just not talking about it, I mean, good God, that needs to tell you everything. But they're lying to you very clearly. Currently available data has shown for a long time that ivermectin has antiviral properties at the very least. And now they're showing how clearly that works against COVID-19. Additionally, they've explained the side effects associated with it. And what, you know what those are? The same side effects you get from the injection, they claim, on top of a hell of a lot more severe. And also they include all these very, but you look through these actual studies, bottom line, even the FDA and CDC studies, it's basically headache, minor things at most. But they, of course, include, dropping blood pressure, skin, requiring hospitalization for a very, very, very small percentage. But they don't include that in regard to the injection, do they? We don't talk about the vaccine-induced thrombosis, thrombocytopenia, or the blood clots, or the strokes, or the heart attacks, even though it's way more than small. Weird how they like to do that, right? This is criminal. What they're doing here is criminal. They're a captured agency, all of them. If you can't see that by now, you're choosing not to. May pose risks. So can a lot of things you guys approve all the time, such as the drug we'll talk about next, which has birth defect problems that you addressed earlier but don't really want to talk about now. This is alarming. Now, on top of that, here's a video that will probably freak you out because it's happening. Whether or not, I mean, this is happening independently of this video. We've already proven this. We've already seen cases of people's kids taken away for things just like this. Here is a woman in the hospital who recorded not only her saying this, but their actual words that they were trying in an aggressive way to take a kid away from their father because they found out he dared to recommend ivermectin. Oh, by the way, guys, this is really low because she's whispering and it gets a little louder, but it's as loud as I can make it. So just tune in, turn your volume up.
Manchester, New Hampshire is trying to take someone's kid right now because they gave them ivermectin. My door's open, so I have to whisper. As a preventative for COVID, the PC. Hospitals nearby are all on standby waiting for this guy to bring his kids.
So just in case, they're saying that the Child Protective Services and everything are all on standby right now, just waiting for him to bring because they found out he dared to try ivermectin.
The social worker here said the dad was a nut job.
Social worker openly said that he's a nut job because he, think about that. That's wildly unprofessional. I don't care. I mean, so not only are you saying that out loud about a person that's supposed to be a case, but you're openly saying that to a nurse about him. I'd argue that's actually a violation of her job, but who cares, right? Because they're all crazy because COVID good and or COVID bad and vaccine good.
Said that he only listened to lunatics. They're all trying to band together. DCF and the hospitals nearby, Elliot, the PCP. Filed to take this person's children because he gave them ivermectin. I wish I was fucking kidding right now.
Oop.
The social worker is literally calling every single person around here.
Now, I know this is really low, but I mean, like, you can hear it if you get close. But the point is, she's saying they're calling, they're going to everybody around, asking them what they heard, what they saw. I mean, guys, this is next level. This is so crazy. And this is even on top of that, a different discussion, pretending that the Child Protective Services or the foster care situation is something positive even remotely. Now, yes, I mean, are there cases where some kid ends up with a good family? Sure. But you can look at a study after study after study from decades that show that it's not only like basically a funnel to human trafficking. And that's not my words. That is direct. That is from groups that are investigating this stuff, mainstream. But that it's horrifying for children. And it's a children prison system. They're getting abused and beaten up, and it's crazy. And we're going to pretend like that's safer for them because this guy likes ivermectin? These are bad people who are, I mean, maybe they don't know that yet, but they're very clearly hyped up on their own power, convinced that ivermectin means the worst thing in the world, and are willing to remove this child from the parent that they grew up with because they don't agree with their medical choices. It's disgusting. Now they're researching him on Facebook.
Pictures of him and his family so that they know who to look for. Like, I can't even believe that I'm, like, listening to this right now. Holy shit.
They go ahead and get to more concerned that if dad brings him in here, it could be Harry. Yeah, and there's a be on the lookout for him by the Dunbarton police. Manchester police have access to that, so they...
So you can hear the nurse in the background now saying, if he shows up here, we're going to call the police and have all these other police on standby and all the other hospitals looking for him and his kid, and we're going to take the kid away.
She's on the phone again talking to someone. They're faxing photos of this person to everyone. She didn't even make the original report, but she's making sure everyone in this motherfucking area knows about it.
Oh, sorry. Cursing in there.
If you live in Manchester, New Hampshire, or Dunbarton, I don't know how to say it the right way. And you have a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old who had adverse reactions to ivermectin, potentially, and your child's PCP called DCF, and they are out for your kids. I want you.
Catholic Medical Center in Manchester, New Hampshire. It's unbelievable. Taking away children, right? And I mean, even to, based on what she's discussing here, like let's say this person had an issue with ivermectin, which, by the way, there's a case that we were just talking about before, and it might even be the similar case where they were worried that there was an issue with ivermectin, brought him to the hospital. Turned out that wasn't even what it was. Nonetheless, they still are going after them because they were discussing ivermectin. It's crazy. The bottom line here, though, what else is giving adverse events? All over the place. The damn injection, right? So you can go in with adverse events with the injection. They'll pretend like it's everything else but the injection. But the one thing they won't do is take your kids away for giving them an injection that caused a very clear issue with adverse events. But you can have adverse events from anything, by the way, including approved drugs. But you get one from ivermectin, suddenly you're the worst person alive because that's the drug you're not supposed to have that one. It's just, this is next level, guys, and it's criminal in so many different ways. Finally, FDA approves Novartis. First in class, RNA to lower cholesterol and keep it with two doses. All right, so we're jumping from stone to stone, as I keep telling you, without even realizing where we're standing. And we're already FDA approved an RNA therapy for lower cholesterol. An RNA therapy. So we're barely even making it clear that RNA-based in pharmaceuticals are actually safe and effective, or even that these things are worth. And yet we're just jumping down the line. This is where they were already going. This has all been in the works long before this. There's a reason that it's all going in this direction very, very clearly. Now, on top of that, the FDA authorizes the other COVID-19 pill that's basically copying ivermectin's uses. So ask yourself this, why in the world, in the middle of what they're telling you is the biggest pandemic in a century, this was the 22nd, is the FDA approving a cholesterol drug, which with its own things I'm not even going to get into today, and yet here they are authorizing another pill, which was already one they have got, and there's already things that are used, and there's already an approved use for the vaccine, yet they're still pretending they can emergency authorize a second pill while there's already an approved thing they're telling you they're using. Come on, this is crazy. The reason they're continuing to only authorize these and not approve them and approving other things simultaneously is because they know they do not have the standing in regard to COVID-19 right now. So if they're going to continue to emergency authorize them and these things come out later and they turn out to be really dangerous, they can go, oh, that's the point. We were still authorized. It wasn't approved. But they authorized this, and that's illegal in and of itself. There shouldn't be another emergency authorization on top of another emergency authorization for something that they're already claiming to have approved. Comirnaty's been approved, they say. So how can you do this? Because there are viable alternatives that they're talking about. And this is the bigger point. But here's the other thing. This is updated as of the 23rd. First doses of Paxlovid. Then it says Pfizer's new COVID pill are released to states. Now, here's what's interesting. You just saw me report this the day before, 22nd. Same article, same URL, same everything. It's on the Wayback Machine. Before they changed it. Now, what's really crazy to me is just because they want to write updated as of, people don't know that. People don't see that. They're changing their articles because they want to update. They're changing the story. That's not supposed to be how that works. If you alter an article, you're supposed to write down there, this has been altered and here's why. Here's what we changed and here's why those things were incorrect. Or at the very least, you can't just be like, oh, well, we had an article about an authorized pill. They added another pill. So let's jam them together and not put a note anywhere that we've changed what happens here. Right? Okay. So here's what it says. Authorizes first pill. The main point the main points. The FDA is also weighing the Merck pill. It's just taken twice a day for 5 days. Now, the point is there's more of that one to go around. It says, but the effectiveness of that pill may make it less attractive. Oh, so it's not very effective. That's a good thing to authorize. But it says, and the FDA advisors raise concern about the possibility of the drug could cause birth defects. Cool. So that's why they're going, but that's why we authorized the other one. The next day, they just changed the article. to include the fact, oh, then here we are. It's also with this one. Now, here's what they changed. And you'll notice an interesting differentiation. It says the FDA also authorized the other pill. There's more of this drug to go around, but the effectiveness may make it less attractive. But you notice that last line is not there. They did add something else. So to make it very clear, and it almost kind of says the same thing, but I just wanted to point out that they changed this, removed that line. Here's what it says now. FDA didn't authorize this for use in patients younger than 18. Why? The drug may interfere with bone and cartilage growth and doesn't recommend its use for during pregnancy because animal studies suggested it could harm the fetus. Okay. So now they just shifted. Instead of just generally telling you, which is what it is, that these things are not just for over 18, it's just whoever takes this. There's obviously a concern about interfering with bone and cartilage growth. And the idea is that the pregnancy aspect is something that doesn't mean you have to be pregnant for that to happen. You can get pregnant. The idea here is that this is a manipulation to argue that, well, it's safe for everybody else. Okay, so if you're concerned about over eight, there are obvious issues in regard to a lot of different things that they just made clear here that they're ignoring in the vaccine. Either way, it's weird that they shift the article, shift the title, shift the content, and don't really tell you anywhere that that's happened. I promise you that happens every single day. Either way, this is something that has issues, and yet they authorize it too? Why? If you already got a pill that you're claiming is going to work, and you already have an injection you claim is approved and safe, and then you're going to authorize a third pill that is clearly not very effective and has issues, how does that even make sense? It's all just leading in the same direction. Pfizer's pill being the first one, which is interesting, and I thought that was interesting in general, how they say that they were going to do the other one first and ends up being Pfizer. I know, shocking. But read this again, as I always point out, that these both of these pills are basically just knocking off what ivermectin, that's why we call it Pfizermectin, is actually doing. Finally, U.S. adds Merck pill as second easy-to-use drug against COVID. Of course, up here is the only place where they actually use the term emergency use, you know, real subtle in the unknown, you know, what nobody reads. And all they say down here is authorized. Right? All the regulators on Thursday authorized the second pill as if it's all good to go, right? The average person doesn't know any different. They go, good, we're good, it's safe, because they authorized it. Nope. It's emergency authorized, which means they don't know if it's actually safe, but they feel, they, in their estimation, that what we currently know is enough to outweigh the currently known risks. So we don't know either way, but we're going to use it, though. Pfizer's pill, Paxlovid, is likely to become the first choice, which is what we told you, remember, before, even though Merck was the first one to be talked about, how they do it on purpose. Why? Because of its superior benefits, they claim, in milder side effects. So they both have side effects. As a result, Merck's pill is expected to have a lesser role against the pandemic, predicted just a few weeks ago. Right. Merck's going to be the one. Then we were like, no, it won't. Pfizer, promise. And then Pfizer comes out. Oh, we switched our mind. Now Pfizer's the one. Pfizer's the one. That's why. That's the point, guys. And finally, South Africa's canceled contact tracing and quarantining and pivots to mitigation. As this doc points out, good decision. You know why? Because they know what's happening. They can see what's happening. It's not dangerous. This is actually something that we should let happen because it's going to let this go away. If you believe that's what's happening in the first place, they are changing their mind and the world is ignoring it. And this person says, for a third world country, South Africa is way ahead, basing decisions on data and common sense. Let's hope the rest of the world catches up. Now, everything else they said I agree with, except for the fact that it's funny how people frame this stuff. Is South Africa a third world country? No. Not even remotely, but on top of that, what is exactly a third world country? The metrics they use to decide that, every one of them, the U.S. government, the United States meets. Every one of them. I had an old article about this. I can go through that a future day, by the way, but every single thing that they have as a metric to decide whether third world country is, the U.S. government has it in spades right now. But we just pretend that's not the case because there's lots of money circulating, I guess, in the hands of the wealthy. But what's funny is, there's a lot of countries out there that are way ahead of this and way more scientific. Iran is a good example that we deem third world countries because bad guy. And people like this don't know any better because they're told that or they listen to them. And, you know, it's sad. But regardless, that's what continues to happen. Now, on this point, I had to conclude this. At the end here, this is this kind of stuff we're seeing in this. While all the stuff I reported to you is factual and provable and peer-reviewed, this is what you're getting from the mainstream. And this person, this is Town Hall saying, this is a real thing that happened in the White House. This is just so creepy to me. It makes my teeth hurt, as you guys like me to say. Here it falls again. Fill up the stockings. I might be rushing things, but deck the halls again now. Okay. I won't force you to listen to that garbage. Now, look at that weird woman in the pink just smiling. It's just creepy. Now, this is so strange. It's in the White House. So why didn't they just have people sing carols? Oh, that's right, because we're in the middle of this transition to the biosecurity state. Because we want you to think, even in the middle of your holiday, that, you know, health and masks and danger and COVID and pandemic, they want to keep that in your mind all the time. So we're going to have a bunch of actors wear scrubs and come out and sing, some of them with masks on, which is very strange to me, seeing as how they're telling you you should all have masks on, but some of them don't. You explain that to me. It's just so stupid, as Biden doesn't seem to wear them now every now and again. It's just so ridiculous. But that they're singing and as nurses and just getting, jamming this into your face, and it scares people because this is weird. And this is the point. It's never more creepy than when they think they're tapping into the zeitgeist. It basically means the spirit of the age, like what's currently happening. They think they're tapping into that, when in reality, they've never been more out of touch with the average person. Even those who are towing the line, and yes, it is towing the line, by the way, because that's the actual analogy, the term, want this to end. Not to have it patronizingly shoved in their faces with a Christmas hat on. This is crazy. But that's the propaganda for you. That's where it's all going. And to end with a nice note. I meant this to be shorter in general, but to end with a nice note, guys. It's Christmas time. Or whatever you're celebrating. It's Christmas time for those that are celebrating Christmas right this moment. And of course, it's a time in whether you believe in Christmas or are a Christian or not, it's a time, at the season in general, where people tend to be better human beings in many cases. Not everybody, of course, not the Israeli government, obviously, but we clearly see that. And it's a time to embrace that. It's time to embrace the real part of this, that there are other human beings out there fighting for you, that care about you. And I absolutely love this morning. I saw this earlier today. Gareth Icke posted this. It ain't Christmas without the obligatory sleeping dad pic. And there's good old David Icke sleeping on the couch around his family. And it's exactly what the government tries to do, humanizing, right? They are so desperate to make them seem normal when they couldn't be anything further from. And this is just, I said, I absolutely love this. This is what real human beings fighting for you actually look like. Not masked and gloved, eating via Zoom call. Enjoy each other's company. Merry Christmas. I just love that. It's so important today, guys. It's so important. Oh, that wasn't what I meant to be there. So important to embrace this and understand that there are good people out there, even if, you know, like myself and other people occasionally make a mistake or get something wrong. We're out here doing what we can to fight for you, the truth and the facts. Now, I took way too long for this. I'm already supposed to be at a dinner, and I apologize for being late if you're watching the show right now. But embrace the good in people every day, not just today, all the time, but especially today and tomorrow. Embrace that. Go see your families. Don't be afraid. Be safe, because you should always be safe, because that's just common sense. But seeing your family and engaging in that, in the love and the compassion and the human contact, is part of what keeps you healthy. And they know that too. And that's why they're aggressively trying to stop that in some level. I think that's very clear. So thank you for tuning in today. Merry Christmas Eve. And I hope you all have a fantastic holiday season. And I will see you after Christmas. I love you all, every one of you. Merry Christmas. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.